son.
How'd you have today? It was good, nice job.
I mean, we literally got the message out at the last second, so.
I mean, the breakfast you
were proud of. I knew that it was well.
It's in the car right in front, on the passenger seat.
It was a power breakfast.
The breakfast was gewaldig. Okay. We got this other, doesn't sound like it's on?
No.
This is on. Oh, you know what? I know what it is. It has its own little switch. Okay, first I want to share with you what I told the boys this morning in the yeshiva. The yeshiva also, we never close down. That's our policy. During the winter, no matter what the weather is, we don't close. We can't force people to come down, and if it's dangerous, we don't want people to put themselves, their life in danger. But we keep the doors open. And so I told the boys a story that I said over in shul with the Ritvaz. I'm sure many of you remember it. We're coming in the winter to Davin, on his father's yard side. I said it actually by Chesky's Shevet Brachas. That the Ritvaz actually was the most dangerous day of the year in Tzfas, and he braved the storm to come to say Kaddish on his father's yard site. When he explained to the Tzibur what his father did, I'm not going to go through the whole story, but I'll just tell you the conclusion. Somebody asked him a very good question, which one of my Talmidim in the yeshiva asked me afterwards, which is, why does Hashem, by the way, I want to give Ari a big yashar koyach, I understand you orchestrated this, so you have a big schus. Nobody, I understand you were the promoter. Thank you. You promoted it. So they asked the Ritvaz afterwards, the Ritvaz, why is it that Hashem makes such a day? Why does Hashem do such a thing? Look at the amount of Torah that's being lost today. Look how many, yeshivas. All the yeshivas are closed today. I'm talking about the elementary schools.
Even Lakewood, there's a question. If they're allowed legally to drive, so the yeshiva is considering closing. If you're not allowed to drive, don't come to yeshiva.
Yeah, but the Beis Medrash is open. I'm sure. The Beis Medrash is not closed. But I'm just saying, all the elementary schools in Muncie, even the ones that never close, are closed. Everything's closed. Somebody just told me, even Beis Mikra. They're also closed. Everybody's closed. So one of the Talmidim in the yeshiva asked me, why does Hashem do such a thing that there should be such a tremendous amount of Bittul Torah in the world on a day like today? And this is a great question in general, and it happens to tie into this week's parasha. As always, of course, that always ties into the parasha. This week's parasha starts off with the idea of Avraham Avinu looking for guests. Because in the last 18 hours, I've been on the phone a lot with the administrators, we're having now, right now, a learning program here in the shul for some of the kids. Whether we should have a program for kids to learn, it's dangerous, sakana versus learning, what do you do? So, this week's parasha, we find a very interesting thing. Avraham seems to put himself in the big sack on it. Avraham Avinu is holding the third day of his mila. A man of 99 years old. He's not a youngster. Right? Third day of the mila is, according to many Rishonim, and Rashi has a different opinion, but according to many Rishonim, the third day of the mila is the toughest day. Rashi in Shabbos is a big chiddush. He holds the third day of the mila is not the weakest day. It's the last of the weekdays, meaning day one and day two and day three. Up to day three, you're still weak, but not that it's the weakest. So we learn out of a pasuk, "Va'ibayim ashlishi b'yosim kriyavim," by Shechem. But Rashi just learns that also the third day. But most of Rishonim learn that the third day is actually the toughest day. So Avraham Avinu was here on the third day of his Mila. He's in the weakest point, 99 years old. And it's a day like today, instead of it being windy or storm, the heat, which actually is even more dangerous. Hot days are notorious to be very, very dangerous, specifically for elderly people. Elderly people, they say you have to stay in and you this and drink and that. And Avraham Avinu was in no condition to go out of his home on a day like today, which was impossible. But yet Chazal tell us he went to get guests. Now, that's not what happened really at the beginning. Everybody knows the end of the Chazal. The beginning of the Chazal is that Avraham Avinu sent out his most trusted messenger, Eliezer. Eliezer is not somebody he didn't trust. Eliezer he trusted with his son Shidduch. Think in your own lives. Who in the world would you trust enough to say, not red me a Shidduch, take care of it, marry off my son? Think in your mind now if there's more than one person that you could think of, that you would say, you know what, I trust you, you could find a girl, finish the Shidduch off, marry him off. That's a lot of trust. I think too many people would trust almost anybody with that, maybe a spouse. And even a spouse, you'd be uncomfortable. Say, I want to give my own shtempel. But if you weren't able to, you'd give it to your spouse. If there's very good shalom bias. Right? If there isn't, you'd probably find dafka somebody else. But, right? So Avraham Avinu trusts Eliezer to such a degree that he uses him for that shlichus. And that's also in this week's parasha. You're talking about a major thing. It's not in this week's parasha mamish, but the end of this week's parasha is where Avraham was told that Rivka was born. And Chazal tell us at that moment he was makabel on himself. He told Eliezer, "L'kshasiyas b'ni, when it will come time to marry off my son, I'm going to use you as a messenger." And then the next parasha, Chayesar, he actually does it. He sends Eliezer with all his money and all his everything, but more than that, he sends Eliezer as a single trusted messenger. So he sends Eliezer out to get guests. And Eliezer goes to get guests. He goes and gets the ochid. What happens? Eliezer doesn't find ochid. Comes back to Avraham Avinu. He says, Avraham. And this is like such a fascinating chazal, you have to chazal it over 100 times. He comes back to Avraham, he says, Avraham, I went outside. It's like today. Nobody's out. It's all the hype. I told the boys, usually the more hype, the less it's lemaisa. Okay, Lowe's yesterday, they sold like 500 or something generators. And now they just brought in, they called my wife, quickly, come down, there's more generators. Everybody's running to get generators. There's tremendous hype, especially after last year's blackout. And I told the boys, years ago, nobody would have even known. There were no forecasters. Nobody would have even known who would have woken up this morning and gone, gotta stay home under my blankets. Nobody would have done that. Right? So Avraham Avinu sends out his trusted Eved on the third day of his bris when he's 99 years old. And the Eved goes and tells him there's nobody in the streets. That should end the story. The end. But that's not the end. Avraham comes to a very fearful conclusion. He says, ain't there monoslav of him? Can't trust him. Could you imagine? He trusts this man with everything. His son, Shidduch, everything. Eliezer is the most trusted Neman Beisai. He doesn't trust him. He says maybe he's lazy, he doesn't want to work with the lazy. What are we talking about? Eliezer, I have to go myself. He pulls himself out of bed to look for the Och. Can you imagine this mysterious nefesh? To such a degree. You know, only something which is so dear to you will you come to a conclusion, even a wild conclusion. Say, well, who knows, maybe he's not looking good. It's only because it shows you Avram's redifa after Chesed, that he wasn't taking no for an answer. When Hashem saw that, Hashem said, okay, there's no choice. We got to bring him Orch. He brought a Malachim. But the Malachim only came after Avram's relentless quest for guests and refusal to give up. He refused, he adamantly refused to give up. He's not giving up. He's going to go until it comes. Now, what happened? What you'll find fascinating is Avraham Avinu did chesed his entire life. His whole life was one big chesed. As Rav Eliashiv beautifully explains, Avraham was a farmer. He had a tree. Chazal tells you, he used that tree. He took care of it. He groomed it. He cut it. Because that tree was where he did his chesed. He had people sit under it. It had beautiful shade. He used its fruit to give people food. Rav Eliashiv asked, Avraham Avinu was a billionaire. He was the richest man in the world, Kemat. Bill Gates. If somebody would tell you, L'havdil elef havdalos, Bill Gates, who's also, by the way, quite a generous individual, likes to do a lot of chesed. Of course, not a peanut in the farm of Avraham Avinu, but I'm just saying he likes to do chesed. If somebody would tell you, Bill Gates, he likes to take care of guests. So he has a tree he planted in his backyard. And he's busy with that tree all day. He plants it, he does, he cuts it, he takes care of it, he puts Meshuggah, Bill Gates. First of all, buy a hotel. You don't need a tree. Buy a Hilton. Right? That's where you put your guests, first class. Fruit, you could go to a pomegranate. Buy the most expensive fruit. Right? What are you busy with a tree? What are you, a farmer? Avraham Avinu. Imagine Avraham with a hat and overalls, taking care of a tree. He's a wealthy man. If he was a pauper and he had to do chesed, this is the only way to do it. Okay, gotta do what you gotta do. Avraham Avinu has the wherewithal to do chesed in a normal, b'reita way. What does he need this for? So Rav Eliashiv, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, said, you're missing the boat. Avraham loved to do chesed. He didn't want to buy ready-made fruit. He wanted to be involved in every step of the process. He wanted to plant the tree. He wanted to cut off the fruit. He didn't look at chesed as something he has to do. He was an oyev chesed. So he wanted it to be more enduring. He wanted it to last longer. He wanted it to be more time consuming. And more effort should go into it. That was a Eliashiv's pshat, beautiful pshat, in this Vayita Eshel. So Avraham spent his whole life doing chesed. Why do we, now, this one day that he did chesed becomes the symbol for generations. Vayoretz, Avraham ran to the guests. Chazal say, B'schar Ritza, Hashem rots l'kraseinu b'matan Torah. So Matan Torah, historic event of all time, was in the schus of this day. Avraham did chesed. Chem of Acholov, we got the mon. Yukach no mat mayim. We got the be'er. That means all of the history of Klal Yisrael was in the schus of those that day. That one day. Even though if you want to look for chesed, Avraham Avinu, his whole life was full of chesed. You don't have to look at one day. This is just like another picture of Avraham's life. What was this day? And now I want to tie it into the Ritva's. The Ritva says, why does Hashem give such days? So he said, Torah is beautiful. Chesed is beautiful. This is all beautiful. But he says, the world can only survive on chesed with Mesiras Nefesh. On Torah with Mesiras Nefesh. Those are historical moments. He said, so therefore, sometimes Hashem makes tremendous nesyanus so that we should be sitting here and learning. And this learning does more than having multitudes learning b'toch nachas v'harchava. You need these moments. These are momentous times in history where Hashem says there has to be, call them zealots, that get up and say, I'm going to brave whatever the nisayon is and I'm going to do what I have to do. So this is a historical moment. That's the pshat in Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu had a life of chesed. But this third day of his bris was a historical moment. So to create history, you have to brave those historical moments. And that is why the chesed that Avraham Avinu did in this week's parasha is what created, unraveled history in that way. And this fits beautifully with the Maharal Miprag. The Maharal Miprag says a great idea. He says, it says that Avraham Avinu The third day, when he came to do Akedas Yitzchak. So it says, Vayachvash es Chamoyrei. So Chazal tells he did it himself. Now, why did he do it himself? Because he woke up so early in the morning that the normal person that used to saddle his chamor wasn't up yet. So that's why it also says, Vayikach eshtei norov. So Chazal tells he had to wake them up. Why does he say, Vayikach eshtei norov? Normally, the Eved takes the master. The master doesn't have to schlep the avodim. But here, Avram woke up so early that there was nobody there. He had started, B'kitzi, he started the day out. He did the chamor. Chazal tell us that it's that chamor that Moshe took to save Klal Yisrael in Mitzrayim. And it's that same donkey that Mashiach is going to ride on, Losed Lovoy, to redeem Klal Yisrael. So the Maharal Meprag says, it's the same donkey. Same donkey. So, is that what we have to believe? The last couple of weeks I've been getting texts from one individual, I don't know who it is. He'd rather not identify himself. But he sends me a message every week. Rebbe, I don't really believe in the Mabul. It might not be cursed. He doesn't want to be an apikoros. He just says, I can't imagine a Mabul. Then this past week, he sent me a message. What happens if he doesn't really believe in the Akedas in apikoros? He's like desperate that I should tell him, yes, you're an apikoros. I said, no, you're not an apikoros. I said, could be an amoretz, not an apikoros. So the person, these are very difficult parts of the Torah. It's hard for people to understand them. Not an apikoros. So anyway, he doesn't want to be an apikoros. He doesn't want to be. It's clear from his messages he doesn't want to be an apikoros. So the Maharal says, what does it mean? It's the same donkey? It's that donkey? He says, no. He says, Avram's Mesiris Nefesh, when he vayachvash es chamoyrei, that Mesiris Nefesh was him overcoming his behemoths. Every human being is made of, we're really animals. We have the neshama that gives us the super ability. If you just take the person himself, he's a behemoth. Right? Avram was vayachvash es chamoyrei. He overcame his chamor when he did what he did. That Mesiris Nefesh of Avram Avinu led to the Mesiris Nefesh of Moshe Rabbeinu, which was able to begoil us from Mitzrayim. And it's that Mesiris Nefesh, it's the same Vayachvash as Chamorah, that's going to lead to the Gula Hasidah. So therefore, Rabbi Yisai, you will pass the test. Because that's really what a day like today, for somebody to sit and go, one second, we can't just allow the day to start off with Bittul Torah, is really a tremendous chus. So it's not just that you got an extra hour or two of learning and a Gishmak of breakfast, which is for the Chamor part, the breakfast piece. It's really hopping the moments. And we should all be Zeichetak at the Besuris Tevis. Uh-huh.